Justin, we have an incredible announcement for the people. Tell them.
Big announcement coming. Austin, Texas, this November, the second Intentional Fatherhood Retreat. We are pumped. What dates, Brooke?
November 12th through the 14th, you can join us in Austin, Texas for a weekend to get away and to be refreshed and transformed as a father. Tell the people what they can expect, Justin.
We're going to have incredible worship. We're going to have great teaching. We're going to have a community of dads all coming together, not just to hear a biblical framework on how to live intentionally as a father, but also to be equipped with tons of practical habits and help on how to do that. Most of all, though, this is the kind of thing where you come into a community of dads who are all trying to follow Jesus into fatherhood together. And let me tell you guys, this will change your life. So we want you there.
Come out, go get your tickets at intentionalfatherhood.org. You can get all of your tickets there. And please, again, join us. Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where we explore what it means to live on purpose as a father and how legacy starts at home. I'm Justin Whitmore Early.
And I'm Brooke Moser. We'll be your hosts, and we desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to season 3 of the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast. We are on episode 5.
Yes.
Diving into how to use your time. Time at work, but time in general. Why does time matter? This is a huge question that we got from a lot of people. Both, I mean, I get this all the time from people, but also we got this at the Intentional Fatherhood Conference.
Yeah.
How do I use my time well at work so that I can steward it for family, all the things? This is going to be a good one. What should people do if they want to follow along with this series we're doing on vocation?
Ooh, we do lots of things to follow along. First of all, do you guys know that we have our own social media handle? Turns out they're free. Did you know that?
Yeah. I didn't know they're free.
Yeah, you know they're free. Instagram, you can at Intentional Fatherhood, very little end underscore, because some random guy in Switzerland has the actual one without the underscore.
Good for him, though. I hope he's an intentional father.
One father, one follower. Isn't that classic?
And by the way, the way that we know that we are the product on social media is that it's free. Just so everybody hears that. I do know it's free. And that's how you know that you're the product. You're being sold to advertisers.
That sounds like a great episode. But truly, thank you. This season, Justin's been taking on the introduction. And again, it's improving every time. And this isn't, I'm not knocking you. You know,
every time you comment on the way I introduce, it undercuts my ability to introduce.
I'm sorry. I'm not a good friend. I am completely joking. Great job, sincerely. But moving on to that, rating, subscribing, and leaving a comment actually gets the word out. And truly, when you do that, it lets more fathers know. And if these episodes are helping you, or seasons, just would you do us one favor? It is so helpful when you share this, because honestly, in the kingdom, what I love about walking with Jesus, there's always more room for good. When you do something good in the kingdom, there's a multiplication effect of good. Like, as an example, if you are in a workplace and say you wrote a book, right? Just, this is a great example for you, but say you write a book and then someone writes a book on the same topic, and maybe this is like in the space where you're just trying to make a name for yourself. Well, that could be a threat or a competition.
Ooh, right. But in the kingdom, but not in the kingdom.
In the kingdom,
there's always more to be said.
Yeah. Well, not just in the kingdom, but like if you're writing something on habits, as an example, and someone else comes and writes something, there's always more room for good in the kingdom when it's for the glory of God. And so it's just to say, like, if this is helping you, send it to a friend. There's always more room for good. And it's a huge deal. Also, just want to say really quickly that if you have questions, will you send them in to hello@intentionalfatherhood.org. And you can just leave a voice memo. We love those. It's 1 minute long. Yep. If you can, keep it shorter. If you can, your name, where you're from, and your question. And hopefully we'll be able to answer some
of those. I love how spiritual you made liking and subscribing. Most people are like, smash that like and subscribe button. You're like, well, there's always room for more good in the kingdom.
It's true. It is true.
Really good.
I mean, that wasn't forced. I mean, I see you highlighted it. It wasn't. Yeah, that's sincere. I think that helped me a lot. Like, I struggle with that a lot. We're going to get into this episode on time, but I've struggled with that a lot. Like, even in the, well, especially in the Christian space, like, well, I shouldn't talk about that or write about that or think of like do anything in that area because someone else is already doing it.
Mm.
But in the kingdom, there's always more room for good. There's more need for good. And
I hear that all the time.
What part?
someone is already doing that.
Yes.
And this episode is on time, not on this, but I know someone out there like wants to teach on something or write on something or do something or start a company. And they're like, but like someone's already doing this or so-and-so's already doing that. And yes. I'm like, who cares?
This is your moment.
Do your version of it. Yes. Like everything I've ever written, someone has already written it's every time.
But it's actually the case for every writer.
Yes. And this is what T.S. Eliot said, good artists copy. Great artists steal.
I know.
Which is the idea of like the way you learn and practice your craft is you copy other people. That's actually respectable. It's like you're learning to paint, you're going to copy the masters.
Yes.
But when you get so good at copying that you steal it because people no longer see that you're copying, you're doing something new based on everybody else's stuff. Yes. That's the idea of building on other
people's work. Well, and it becomes
your
own. It's inspiration to a point. But actually, if you're hearing this and you're kind of like, this might be a word, I really actually sense as you're saying this, might be a word for somebody listening. Like, you've been wondering, should I do it? Like, do it.
I feel this has nothing to do with our episode, but I feel this is a word for somebody. Like, and hopefully you're going to comment to us or you're going to send a question like, I'm going to do the thing. Like, whoever you are, brother, do the thing. Use your time to do the thing because as it turns out, all you have is time. Time is the currency of your purpose.
Yes.
I really like that we're diving into this episode because it's so intricately connected to our last episode. Mm-hmm. We talked about stewarding money.
Mm-hmm. Stewardship in general, but money especially.
That's right.
Yep.
And time, you know, we ended last episode, time is money.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways it is. It is the gift you are given in this world by God. You have no idea how much time you have. You just know that you're supposed to number your days, use your time wisely. Mm. The Bible is filled with these commandments. What I love about talking about time and money and stewarding both is that these are two things that when I look at my getting my life together phase, particularly my college age and early 20s, I was just particularly bad at these. Like had no plan for time, had no plan for money.
Mm.
And when I look at my life now, I'm like, wow, the Lord has done a lot. I'm not going to say like I'm great at either of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at the trajectory of my life, I'm like, oh, the Lord has done a lot to teach me how to steward money and how to steward time. And so I think it's fun to talk about for fathers because you should see a trajectory in your life of learning to steward your time more and more.
Mm.
What does it mean to you to steward time?
Oof. Well, this is an interesting topic for me. We were chatting about this. We just had a little coffee date. That was great.
It was cute. You walked in the coffee shop. You gave me a hug.
Dude, no. I want to share something about.
That was the most mob boss move. You gave me a hug.
Yeah. What he means
I sat still.
This was the most power move I've ever seen. I want to pass this on.
You should try this. This is a great power move.
How much sometimes friends can be ding dongs, but also how funny it was and how it was like you immediately pulled it was like you were the alpha male in the room. I come in to say hi. We're meeting at a coffee shop to process this morning or like this day's content. He's sitting there just relaxing, drinking coffee, writing out some notes. And as a friend,
Your arms open to give me a hug.
You're like, good morning. He just stays sat there.
Well, I threw my arms open too, but I did not rise.
You try to justify.
I did not rise to meet you.
So he sits there and I'm like, just trying to go to YouTube and watch this. I'm like trying to literally go over. And he's not moving, but I'm still inclined to just get down on his level. And I got like stuff in my hands and I'm like trying to hug him. I'm like, good morning. And the whole time I'm like, I feel like a child. I've been owned right now. It was amazing. All right,
so this is a power move I want to share with you. As you grow in your fatherhood, you're on your way to being a patriarch. Okay. You're on a way. Oh, bad word for some people. You're on a way to being an elder. Okay? You're an elder. And anybody who knows anything about their grandparents, they stay in their recliner. You come give them a hug.
You're 40
years
old.
And sometimes it's just good to practice being the elder.
I got to be honest. I was like, wow, I just got psychologically owned there. And I was like, I cannot wait to pass this on. So please just, I would love to make a new practice of this. No, like when you get into a room, the other person just stays seated until the other person hugs them. That's so good. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. Woo. Time. We were talking about this morning.
Second great tangent. We were talking about that at the coffee shop this morning. Good. Keep going.
And I think that this topic is both like, I love it, but I'll be the first to say like time management isn't where I naturally would land. of like, man, productivity is the most important to me. Redeeming every moment is the most important to me. I think time very much matters, and you need to understand relation to time, and you need to not waste time. But personality wise, and this is where I like our differences. Mm-hmm. My wife's far more productive and time sensitive or aware than I am. I like the differences. I'm aware of time in the sense of responsible with it, but I also don't like stress over time. And so as your question goes, how do I think of time? Well, I think it's the one thing you never get back, but I also think it can do the flip side. If you focus on it too much of where you're not right now and the time you have left and what I haven't done, and I haven't done, been productive enough. You do the opposite of become anxious, nervous, and you become worrisome. So what I want to highlight is, like, I don't think that extreme time management to the point where you can't live is the option, and ignorance. Ooh, we're talking about the line through. And that's where I hope to be. Sometimes I would say I would drift towards being less caring of time. And maybe I would say, I'm not going to say this for you, but I know that this to be true. You might be more aware of time than less. And so it doesn't matter actually where you naturally gravitate towards. You need to come to the center. I need to come to the center. And that's what I think this episode is about.
Yeah. I want to connect this for our listeners. We talked earlier, a couple episodes ago, about ambition.
Yes.
And I think some people, some of you listeners, need to see ambition as a gift and thus move out of laziness or wastefulness of your time.
Yeah.
To better stewardship over your time. Mm. Okay.
Love it.
That was certainly me in my 20s. I needed to be like, oh, I need to structure time because I'm wasting the talents, the time, the resources the Lord has given me. Mm. And I think that's pretty typical for young men. They need to be trained in this. But I will say what's super typical right now of me and other people is I think the Lord has done the work in my life. Like, I get that ambition is a gift. I've gotten the use of time. Okay. He's moved me. Now I have sinned in the other direction and I see limitations as a curse. Mm. And you need, so the other half of you guys listening, you need to see limitations as gift. You only have so many hours in a day that you could work. And that's not a flaw. That's a feature of how God made you. You need to sleep. That's not a flaw. That's a feature of how God made you. You need a Sabbath. It's not a flaw. It's a feature. And your days are numbered. God has given you so much time, and that's providentially in his goodness. Now, so I set up those two poles, and I want you to identify for yourself right now.
Yeah.
We all need to move towards redeeming and stewarding our time. But which end are you moving from is what I want you to name.
The limitations thing brings up a lot for me, because I think in growing, especially as a man, and any of the ladies listen knowing this, limitations never feel good. I remember my wife did a teaching that I did not like, but I didn't like it because it was so good, called The Gift of Limitations. And in a lot of our story, man, limitations have been so present, and limitations of flexibility, of time, of opportunity, because of circumstances that feel just like so challenging. And what I'm referring to is just whether that be health or needs of my family that stop me from doing things that I would say are really important to do. And I think it's really necessary to say this. There are limitations, as you are highlighting, Justin, in your life that are actually gifts. You're viewing them as burdens. Yeah. You're viewing the fact that you can't get out of the house because your toddler needs something, or your spouse, like, you're viewing the fact that you can't just travel and do the thing you want to do or live out the dream as a burden or a setback. And my friends, can I just reframe this for you? Not in a psychological way, but a spiritual way. Mm-hmm. Your limitations are a gift, because if we were able to run as hard as we wanted to, most of us would heal over and honestly overdo it. I have a tendency to overdo it. My limitations personally, but also in my family, keep me grounded in huge ways, ways that I wouldn't prefer, but are necessary for me to actually stay sane.
Yes. I think for many of you listeners, you're probably like us in that what you want to hear in an episode on time and what you want to do with your time is learn how to use it better. You want to be more productive.
And we'll talk
about that. And we'll get there. But the sin the potential idol, the heir of that, is that really you do adopt just the cultural category of being productive, which is that I want to produce more. I want to be more useful. That might be income. That might be, you know, feeling better about yourself. It might, and some of this is good. Like, you should absolutely be productive, but the heir is that it is all about this sort of economic sense of what you can produce and sell or do or life hack. And limits are the things that remind us all the time that we are essentially a creature of God in service of others. We're a creature. We're not the creator. We actually have limits. We just can't. We're not a machine that can just be fine-tuned, plugged in, and just run constantly. One of my favorite quotes, actually, I believe it was Anne Lamott. Said,
Lamaint?
correctly pronounced Lamott.
I don't know.
Actually, it might be Lamott, not Lamont. Oh, geez. We don't know. But I do know she said, this. She said, most things will work again if you just turn them off, unplug them for a minute, and then restart them, including you.
That's so good.
It's really a lovely statement, but it kind of, through irony, makes the point that you know you're not a machine. Like, you need rest. Even our machines need to be unplugged and restarted. And anyway, long way of saying, the air of this productivity line of thinking is that you can think of yourself more like a machine than a creation. You're a human being, which means you need rest and limits. And you're a human being that means you're in service to things besides your vocation. So like my morning this morning, I was telling you at the coffee shop.
I love this. Please.
It was just a comedy of domestic errors on the way out the door. Like all small errors.
A comedy of domestic errors as I leave.
I typically am out the door by, you know, between 8 and 8:30. So Lauren and I set up is, because she's drawn
cover your wife here.
Yeah, she has drawn such a bad lot of raising four boys. There's so much that just doesn't fit her. There's so much that just like unfairly asked of her. One of my gifts to her in this phase is I'm like, Lauren, me and the boys vibe when you are not there sometimes. This is a limited statement. Like, we need her so badly in so many ways.
No, but yes.
But we vibe in some ways when she's not there. So I say, look, you need a little bit more sleep than me. That's fine. You sleep in an extra hour in the morning. I'm going to get the boys up and out to school.
Yeah.
Because it's just like,
it's just easier.
It's easier for me. It's easier for everybody.
They probably don't push back on you the same way.
They don't ask me where their shoes are.
They just,
because they look, they look at this guy and they're like, he has no idea. Like, I guess I got to figure this out, bro. Like, but if she's there, it's like, where's my lunch? Where's my shoes? Anyway. Yep. And that's why we love mom, because she's like a source of nourishment and help and like an all knowing presence of where everything is. Anyway.
Absolutely. So
this is a long-winded way.
No, I like this story.
Padding my explanation, because I don't think everybody should do the morning routine by themselves. And I don't think wives listening, you don't need to go get mad at your husband. Like, why don't you do this?
No, well, and every stage is different. Every family's different. Yeah.
Long way of saying, I was getting the boys ready. Lauren was still in bed. Someone spilled a whole thermos of soup that was supposed to be their lunch. And as I'm cleaning this up, it's very oily, like pork-based soup.
Oh,
I'm cleaning this up and I opened the cabinet to get the wash, like the, you know, the spray bleach and stuff, whatever. Yeah. It wasn't bleach, whatever it is. Yeah. The spray cleaner.
Yes. Got it.
And the dogs like stick their head in that cabinet, which is
which you have two
fine.
Now, by the way, last
two.
Season
I'm a
you did.
I'm a big dog guy. Like, I've got two
I just
dogs.
Met them last night.
Bo and Louie.
Immediately submitted them.
You submitted them very well. They're still puppies. They're only like, you know, 4 months old. And they like spill this cup out of the cabinet and I'm like, what is this awful smell? And like, what was in this cup? And so Lauren is, I'm trying to get this cleaned up now. There's two spills and Lauren's finally waking up. The boys are getting out the door. And I try not to be aggressive, but I'm like, Lauren, what is in the cabinet? And she was like, oh, that's a bacon grease. And I'm like, oh dear Lord, why? Why did you put bacon grease under the cabinet? And she's like, she's barely awake. She's like, my mom always put the bacon grease under the cabinet.
Like, that's the most or natural place to put it.
Which like,
I love that story.
I don't know why. We can't keep it there with dogs, obviously.
No, obviously.
But, and this continued. There were two more errors. But I was not out the house on time. And when I'm not on time in the morning, I start to get an unconscionable level of fury in my mind. And this is where I think a lot of guys are like me. This morning was totally understandable errors.
Sure.
But like when you start to realize, oh, I'm behind, I'm late, I'm not. Yep. I start edgy, to see my idol of time crapping up and I'm like, I struggle right now because with trying to be faithful to my family and faithful to the call of rest and have boundaries on the time of work, if I don't start on time and start to get in the productive mode and get the things done, I just see it all falling apart. And I think on the one hand, there's a strength in me that says, you know, I'm going to only give so many hours to work. It's actually a lot of hours. It's like typically 8 to 10 a day.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hours, but I'm going to limit it to that because I have other vocations besides being a lawyer and a writer. I need to care for my family. I need to care for my body. I need to actually rest on these things. But when I see that start to crumble, I get super grabby, like, annoyed.
Well, let's flesh this out. Yeah. Cause I want to ask a couple questions about what you're saying. That story is amazing. A series of domestic errors. I love that. Everyone has a story like that for sure. Even in recent memory.
And on the daily. I mean,
and on the, absolutely. One of my favorite memories from last night was when we were leaving the house to go hang with Steve and Matt, your two buddies, your two covenant friends, which was awesome, by the way. So good to merge all of our worlds.
It was fun, yeah.
And, what was so funny to me was they had boxing gloves on. And you're
the boys.
Yeah, the boys. And they're literally just like boxing. And then I was like, okay, guys, I got to leave. I'm going to give you a goodbye wedgie. And they're like, no. And I wasn't going to, but like, it was amazing what fury this created. I loved every ounce of it.
And they started hitting each other.
They started punching each other instead of me. I was like, this is amazing. And then we left and I was like, your kids are going to be okay. You're like, yeah, they'll be okay. They're going to put themselves to bed. I was like, it's incredible. And they did. It was kudos to you. That's incredible parenting. But anyway, I think what I'm wanting to talk about, and you kind of mentioned it, is with time, and we're going to get to some of the foundation scriptures and some of the things we're processing. You're mentioning something that one of the reasons you get stressed out about time is because you are trying to fit so much in.
Yes.
And you have multiple things that you have worked out, and it only works.
Yeah.
If everything plays by the rules. The only problem is,
ouch. Yeah, this is
true. This isn't calling out. I'm saying,
well, a little bit though, because one of my errors is having zero margin. And when there's zero margin, there's zero room for error, which means when errors happen, you get mad at the people around you, i.e., my wife, kids, or coworkers.
Yes.
Well, on me.
Well, it's on me too. I do the same thing. So what I'm trying to highlight isn't actually to throw any, unnecessary awareness, is to say, let's talk about the real thing, which is, oftentimes when it comes to time, we want to make the most of it, which is actually what we're supposed to do. But what I'm trying to highlight is you are doing a beautiful, noble thing that's hard to balance in the day to day. It's hard to, like, what you're trying to do is actually redeem the time. We're going to talk about that biblically. Yeah. You're actually doing that by saying, here's my hours of work. Here's my hours of exercise.
That's good.
Here's my hours. You're like, good. No, I was feeling pretty bad.
No, it honestly does. It makes me feel good because I really do. And I'm guessing most of you guys listening are like me. I really do oscillate between these two ends of like feeling like this is my call.
Yes.
I am supposed to be responsible to my law office, to be responsible to my employees, to be responsible to my family, to be responsible to my readers. I should use my time well. Yes. Like, this is stewardship to God.
Yes.
But then I get so frustrated with like when it goes wrong.
Yes.
And I really honestly feel encouraged by what you're saying right now. Unexpectedly encouraged, Brooke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
because
welcome.
I think you're helping me see that, and I hope listeners are taking this away too. Trying to live up to the goal of redeeming your time and stewarding it is a messy process by definition.
Yes.
You're gonna be like a bowling ball bouncing against this guardrail and that, but knowing hopefully that you're headed in the right direction towards redeeming it. So give us the verse. Give us Ephesians. Yeah. What does redeeming your time mean?
Yeah. I'm going to say, and just right before that, just to highlight, your story is perfectly, it's a perfect unintentional example we didn't mean to use, because it shows it is not straightforward every day. It's not
that's
easy.
Right. Yeah.
When you have godly ambition, you are going to have this tension of learning how, by failure primarily, what is too much to fit in, what is not enough.
Yeah.
And you're going to err either end. The point is, like, right now, you just said something. you said, hey, I actually have too much I try to squeeze in. So the practice for you, I would imagine, because you're really aware of this and you're very high functioning, you think it through, man, if I could just like give some margin on either end of the day, even just 30 minutes, how much that might just give you a breath.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't think it's much more than that, but, and I'm trying to make it really like gritty and real life examples, because I think it could be easy to hear that story and be like, well, Justin needs to now like work one day less a week. I don't think it's that extreme. I think it's literally just figuring out like where are the moments of margin that you can create so you can give yourself a breath, so you can enjoy Jesus, so you can enjoy your family instead of that, those moments, which are going to happen, being a burden. And that's just a version of idealism. And idealism is just a really sneaky thing, because nothing actually ever works fully the way we could idealize it to be.
I think that's good, because I think probably most people listening right now, I'm going to guess most of our listeners right now are in the giving their life away stage.
Yeah.
By the way, I think call back if you don't know what I'm talking about. You need to go back to season two.
Yes.
Season two is about the stages of masculinity and fatherhood, getting your life together.
Formation, yeah.
Giving it away, giving your death away. And it's probably going to be normal for most of us to struggle with trying to use our time well in our getting our life together stage. But most of our dads, like fathers listening now, you're probably going to feel the pinch of far more is being asked of me than I have time to do.
Yes, sir.
So you're likely going to be frustrated often with me of like, oh, this day's going wrong because people are asking. Like, I literally don't have the time to do all things. And the struggle is to use your time well in the midst of that reality. Yes. It's true. Yes. You don't have enough time to do all the things that everyone is asking you to do. You don't have enough time to do all the things that you want to do. Here's the thing. You do have enough time to do the things that God is calling you to do.
Yes.
So you need to figure out how to differentiate between the things you want to do, the things people are asking you to do, and the things you ought to do to be faithful. Yeah.
Well, and that list is pretty simple. You already know what your vocation, you know, there's a calling piece of your family, your kids. And anyway, that's a whole other topic. So yes, Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, you've heard it before. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. This is that idea of redeeming the time. I'm going to give you just a couple more because I think this is important. Psalm 90, 12, another great one. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Wow.
I think it's important to say that time awareness leads to wisdom, not anxiety.
This is really good.
I love when I say something and it sparks something in you. You're just like, your eyes are so big.
And now this is super simple and super short, but fathers, if the way that you're thinking about and planning your time, all your productivity and life hacks and all these things are making you a more anxious person, then you're on the wrong path.
Yes.
It should be making you a more wise person, a better steward. So just if you're constantly worried, like me,
then you're
on the wrong path.
Absolutely. And to say, and the reason I said that is because when you actually have that awareness, it doesn't bring fear of the future. I'm not using it right. Like, you start to go like, no, I'm a human. I can only do so many things within a day, but I am redeeming it as much as possible. And this idea of perfection, this side of heaven, gentlemen and ladies listening, is not real. You will never feel it. It will never, you're chasing a car you're never going to catch. It's not going to happen. You will literally be so frustrated and die in the frustration pursuit of perfection. That's heaven. You have heaven inside of you. That's why you long for idealism and perfection, but that's not something you get here. And so let that perfectionism be like, there's a moment in time that perfection's coming. It's called heaven. It's called the kingdom of God. And he put that in you. But just realize every time you're disappointed because it didn't work out perfectly, that's actually just a great reminder of hope for heaven.
Fathers, we are so excited to let you know of two resources that myself and Justin have been working on. First, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth is available exclusively right now at intentionalparents.org or intentionalfatherhood.org. It is a 31-day guide to help you pray and focus with consistency on your family, your children, helping shape their hearts while God shapes yours. And of course, you've heard about it. Justin's resource, his new book, The Body Teaches the Soul, is available everywhere books are sold. This book is about the 10 essential habits that build a healthy and holy life, habits that strengthen how you lead your home. So we want to just encourage you, if you have not grabbed those resources and those are helpful, please take a moment, get those now, and let's get back to today's episode.
One of the things that we pray, Brooke, often before we start these episodes is that the Lord would use it in our lives as much. I'm just feeling the pleasure of having real time, in real time.
I love this.
By the way, if you don't know, ask Brooke about this. He uses the phrase in real time wrong. Did you just, he always.
And Justin needs to repent of his arrogance around words. Anyway, keep going. Anyway,
yeah, okay. So in correct use of the word in real time.
In real time, yes.
I'm realizing beautiful connection between these verses. That we often talk about making the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time is another way that is translated. That verse begins with be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Wow. And you're reading the psalm, teach us to number our days. By the way, if nobody's heard the Lone Bellow song, A Tree I'll Grow.
No.
They sing this in the chorus. Teach me to number my days. It's a great free advice, great song.
I believe you.
Both of these are connected to wisdom.
Yes.
And I'm just, the Lord's, I think, working in my heart right at the moment as we're talking about this. Huge connection between stewardship in our last episode around money and stewardship in this episode around time. Is that if you're, your stewardship should be leading you away from worrying about the future in time and money and more towards humility in the present. So if you're growing in these things, you're going to be worrying less about, oh my gosh, am I going to have enough money for this and that? Or, oh my gosh, am I going to have enough time for this today? And you're going to be growing more humble in the present with these are the finances I have. I'm going to steward them well. This is the time I've been given. I'm going to steward them well. Both of these things, wisdom breeds humility.
Yes.
And it breeds out anxiety over the future. And I think most dads have anxiety over two big things. I don't have enough time to do all the things I'm asking to do.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to do the things. And you're worried about the future of these things instead of humble in the present. And I'm preaching to myself here.
All of us. And that gives just one more verse that gives me relief. I love Ecclesiastes. So practical. So but Ecclesiastes 3, if you read through that, they go through this long list of like time. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. And life is seasonal.
Yes.
So let me just say this. I know you're going to get pumped about this, but life is seasonal. That means there's going to be times when you are hyper productive, when you are outputting, like every hour is accounted for. And there's times where you're going to have luxurious, refreshing moments of just nothing and whole seasons. And this is not just like as you're growing up, this is also within your family. This is also as you approach retirement. And I think this is a very important thing to note because we can often think and get addicted to productivity to a level that when it's time to stop being productive, we don't know how to find our worth because all of our time has been put into something that is not fully the right thing. And therefore we don't actually know how to use time when we have it.
Yeah.
So when we have it to actually like change it. So it's just to say that just note that you try to identify, if there's one practice I could even just encourage you to do, name what season you're in. Are you in a season of building your family? Like we kind of said this, giving your life away season. That's a lot of us. Are you getting your life together? Giving your life away, giving your death away. Where are you at? But even like drill down a little deeper. What age are your kids? Do you have like 5 and under? Do you have kids that are in middle school and high school? Like these seasons of life and time are going to be very different. I'm entering a stage right now where I have 2 high schoolers and a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. My life is looking very different than it was 2 years ago, even 4 years ago. I mean, drastically different.
Yeah.
And so there's a time in the next year where I could have 3 kids living in my home, not 4. Like that is absolutely, bizarre. So that changes my time, my season. So
it's so true.
It's just to highlight that wisdom from the scriptures is so helpful because I mean, for you and I, Justin, but anyone listening, that you have a responsibility to redeem the time. You have an important job to be aware of what time does, and it needs to have, you need to have wisdom with it, and that there's a season. So don't stress. If you don't love the season, don't worry. It's going to change.
So can we get into the practical how to do this?
I love it.
Having bashed everybody who's too concerned about productivity, let's actually talk about
productivity.
Favorite things to talk about is how to actually structure a productive day, structure productive work.
Yes. I love it.
You want to go first? I have a list.
You go first. No, it's fine.
All right.
I'll play off of yours. I already have. We've already talked about some of this, but yes.
Okay. I've got a list. And before I dive in, I want to note that Ephesians passage about redeeming your time is a spiritual warfare intensive passage. It's about, you know, the days are dark, live in the light, wake, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Be careful how you live. There's all these moral commands in it. This is where, you know, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit, all this stuff. I just want to note our call to use our time well is just so much more than productivity. It's the idea that what you're doing with your time is in service to someone and something. So if you're not using it for holy purposes, you are very likely using it for unholy purposes. Like if you read the Desert Fathers, the Church Fathers, a lot of ancient spiritual writers, one of the great themes that they write about is acedia, or basically like ennui, boredom, like lack, depression, lack of motivation. And that is far more than unproductivity. That is the enemy saying, God has gifted this human being with time. I would like to rob him of it. I would like to take it and make sure that it is wasted. Because as I like to say this over and over, time is the currency of your purpose, right? Everything that you're going to do in the world to love and serve God and neighbor is going to be based out of how you use your time. So there's a high spiritual call to figure out how to use it well.
Yes.
Here are some of the things that I think about in using time well in a regular day, now that I'm way better at this now in my 20s. First of all, I aggressively structure important blocks, all right? I know that's a mouthful, but here's my practical tip number one.
Yeah.
Aggressively structure important blocks. So
what does that look like for you?
Most people have probably seen the 2x2, the important and urgent 2x2. You know, make this, if you haven't seen it, go Google it. You can find it. Some things are urgent and not important. You want to avoid them at all costs. These are probably like most social media notifications on your phone.
Yes.
And if you have that, like seriously, right now, stop this episode, turn off
all notifications
on your phone, especially social media notifications.
Yes.
Because these are tempting you to do urgent things that are not important. Some urgent things are important. You probably know what those are. That's like, you know, medical emergency or like crisis at work. You just got to do it. Most people fail here. Things that are important but not urgent. Almost all good work in life is important but not yet urgent. Okay, if you're a procrastinator, you wait till it becomes urgent to do it. But my practical tip number one is structure important blocks. So my first thing in the morning, my first important block is time with the Lord. We're going to get more into that in spiritual disciplines and work in two episodes. But I structure that block. It's a non-negotiable block.
Okay.
Writing time for me in a workday is a non-negotiable block. It's usually going to be my first hour of the workday. Okay. Because just as there are seasons to life, there are actually many seasons in a day. And if you're like me, most people are like this, not all, but most people, your highest productivity is going to be your morning hours.
Yes. Yes.
Don't schedule your calls and your meetings then. Like, don't do it. If you have, not all of you can control this, but if you can, keep those hours reserved for really important tasks. I'm a writer and I'm a contract lawyer. Like most of my contribution to the world comes through deep work and deep thought, which requires structured blocks of uninterrupted time. And so I'm going to look to the morning to be like quiet time, writing time, deep review of this contract, deep rewrite of this contract. And if you get that right, by about noon, I look up and one of my new practices, thanks to my wonderful employees, is actually having lunch with everybody. It's been an important reminder to me, like, Justin, take a break. You can only do so much deep work.
It's so true.
So I try to break at noon, actually eat lunch with everybody. This is a very new practice. Hopefully it keeps up. And by that time, if those blocks go right, almost everything important that's going to happen today has been done. The afternoon is for meetings because that's what I'm starting to lose focus. My mind is starting to get tired. Deep work becomes more difficult.
Big time.
So I'm scheduling the kind of non-deep work that still needs to be done. I need to meet with my team. I need to review stuff. I need to, okay. That's my first big practical.
Okay.
My second big practical is track your time.
Now, before you say that, one on the back, one thing. So track your time. Right. Let's pause right there. Just to note, if anybody doesn't have the luxury or the ability because of your work to have those moments to the things that matter most to you, but you're really excited about, like writing as an example, maybe your job doesn't lend that to you.
Yeah.
Just as another idea for anybody that's not in that stage, which is a lot of people, this is where waking up early is a huge gift.
That's
and
right.
I think if you can't get that in a work environment because it's a part of your work, but it's really important to you, this is where you steal hours if you can. I mean, get enough sleep, but steal from sleep if you can. And how you can simply also do that is most of your kids go to bed early. If you go to bed just a little bit earlier, you can wake up a little bit earlier and you can still implement that. So I wanted to say, like, you don't have to just have that built into your work rhythm for it to actually happen and to do deep work. And I think that is something that you should do if you desire.
So. I want to zoom in on that. This is why my practical number two is track your time.
There you go.
But the reason this is important is most of my life, I was not in jobs where I could structure my time like I just said.
Yeah.
I was for many years working at a large law firm that was very interested in me being attentive to what other people wanted me during the day.
All the time.
And so I wrote my first book at 5:30 in the morning, but like I would wake up early and do it before anybody else was emailing me. And guess what? I don't want to go back to that. It was very hard on my body. It was very hard on life.
Yeah.
But you can do it. Yeah. You know, if you're in your late 20s or early 30s, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can still do it now. Most of you probably, don't mean to cause offense, but it's true. Most of you are probably spending an hour to three every evening and morning scrolling or watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, where's my time going? I don't have time. And look, just bluntly, you do have time. Mm-hmm. You do have time to do that great creative project you want to do. You do have time to do the family planning that we're telling you to do. You do have time to like develop that ambition at work. That time is leaking out.
Yes.
Because you're distracted and largely you don't know it. So here's my practical point number two. Of the thousands of people that listen to this, I think like one or two are going to do it. you track your time. All right.
Okay.
As a lawyer, this is now trained in me because we have to track our time in order to bill it. But I actually started doing this as a missionary in China.
Okay.
At the end of the day,
but
right before I went to bed, I would write down in iCal what I did that day. I would just like put on like schedule blocks, like woke at this time, read this, went to class, you know, conversation with X student. Now this was as a missionary, we had to report what we were doing.
What you actually did.
And so I was like, oh, this is a great way to do this. Okay. I will not just report what conversations I had with people. I will report what time I went to bed, what time I woke up. Did I watch TV? You know,
you had to report that?
No, I voluntarily did because I realized I was horrible at managing my time.
Got
and I talked to my discipler and I was like, hey, I could use accountability here.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, there's a psychological phenomenon. I'm blanking on the name. When you track something, you naturally improve it.
Wow.
And by tracking and reporting it to my discipler, I started to be like, okay, do I actually want to watch this show this evening? Or do I want to work on that writing project I said I was going to work on? And I just started to feeling like Ephesians, this is the verse we're reading. Everything is exposed by the light.
Mm.
Everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it said, wake, O sleeper. Mm. This same passage, the idea of like when you come into accountability, you use your life better, you do better.
Mm.
And I have now, I know this is weird, but it's been over 15 years. And I have a record of everything I've done every single day for 15 years.
You still do this?
Yeah, I still do it. I did it last night. I do it every day.
Is this in account? What are you doing?
You look like most.
I'm trying to figure out what
my iCal.
So it's the mechanics of it, not the, I'd like the practice. That makes sense. Give me an example of how you do this or what it looks like very tangibly in your iCal. So you just make an appointment. So give me an example. Yesterday we recorded all day.
I got home after hanging out with you guys.
Okay.
I opened up my iCal as I do. This whole process takes 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes before I go to bed.
Okay.
I create an event that morning. Like it started at 6:30, went to 7:15 called Quiet Time.
Got it.
I created an event called Time with Boys, Get Them Out the Door. And then I created a long event called Work, recorded with Brooke all day.
Okay.
I think I even said something like, partly it's a diary to me.
Yeah.
Like if you find your grandfather's World War II diary, it's like, you know, sunny day, did this on the ship. And actually it's a delight. to your children to see what for you did. Sure. So I'll be like, you know, great podcasting today. Got 4 episodes in, worked out at the end of the day.
Yes.
And then I was like, you know, 6 to 7 family time. Brooke came and joined, you know, played with boys. And then I was like 8 to 11, hang out with Stephen, Matt, and Brooke.
Yeah.
Funny and fun conversation. Literally, this took about 90 seconds.
That's really good.
But it creates a record for me. And I understand most of you aren't going to do this, but some of you who are feeling like you're struggling, you just aren't using your time well, I would just say do what anybody tells you to do with your money. Create a budget and track it. You're never going to steward your money without a budget and tracking.
I never felt like I was making so much money until you started budgeting it. You feel like you make so much more money when you start budgeting.
It's great. Yeah. So, I
love that.
Those were long. I'm going to give my last 3 here just super quick. These are going to be scattershot.
Okay.
When you sit down to work, turn your internet off and get your phone out of there. Most of you have jobs you need to concentrate in. Your phone should not be near you while you're trying to work. When you feel distracted, don't do something else. Learn to sit with boredom. Yeah. One of the great books that has helped me and a lot of other people in this is called Deep Work.
Oh, I love it.
The idea of learning to wrestle, like you encounter a problem at work and thus you open your phone. You encounter a problem in the work, thus you get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Try to cultivate the idea of encountering a problem in your head and sitting with it, thinking through it. And last one here, handwrite.
Ooh.
This could be on a Remarkable, could be on an iPad if the internet's off, or it could be just on a notepad. Handwriting tends to bring you into using and thinking through your time, particularly if you're a mental worker. Mm. Get your hand involved with your brain. It tends to improve the way that you're being productive that time. Most people can't sit down and think through a problem. Mm. Almost anybody can write their way through a problem. So scratch out some notes.
Ooh.
Those are my practicals on how to use your time.
Wow.
I know that was a lot. Well, but it's an important issue.
No,
what do you got? Any to wrap us up here?
You have anything? Do you do anything productive? No, I don't. I'm out.
No, I'm acknowledging I talked a lot and I need to shut up. You need to give me
some. I'm listening and learning too. I really actually like the rhythm at the end of the day. I think it's the thing for me isn't actually the practice. I think it's great. It's just the mechanics. What is the easiest for you? And I would say try the iCal thing. If that doesn't work, maybe it's an actual journal.
Like use it as a diary.
Absolutely.
The art of keeping a diary, I think, is lost.
Yes.
It's but perfect. It is a stewardship of your life.
Yes. It's huge.
For you, because you live differently when you record it. And I will say this, it's for my children. In part, it's for my children.
Totally.
Go back and look at what dad did. Look at how he
lived. The internet blows up. You understand that, right?
But yeah, someday there's going to be a data leak and my whole life is going to be scheduled.
Whoa, Justin did what today? I'm going to just kind of not even flip it. Flipping is the wrong word. I would say, so there's, I loved and please like go back and listen to those practicals because I actually think what you just said is so helpful for, honestly, that's what we need, models day to day. So practice that. Another angle of this same conversation is, and we've kind of mentioned it, but I want to be super clear. It's why we redeem time.
Mm.
And we know that to an extent, but we don't redeem time for more productivity. We redeem it for formation. We redeem it to become the types of people that Jesus has called us to be. If you don't have time, you can't be a good steward. You can't follow godly ambition. You can't steward your money. You can't steward your family. You can't, like, why is so that you can have all the things that you actually need through the way Jesus designed you. If you do not know how to steward, manage, process, look at your time, you will lose it and give it to all these things that literally take your life and don't give to it.
Yes.
And so that, I think for me, why always helps me get into it better. When someone says, you should do this, I'm like, cool, why? Like,
that's good.
Yeah. And I think we're not talking about this because we want to burden you. We're saying what we've discovered, I know Justin, you especially, but I know in my life and story I have as well, like when you get aware and ahead of time and knowing where you use it and what happens and how you spend the first parts of your day, how you spend the last parts of your day and what you do in between greatly affects your life. Now, I have less control over my life than you do. And I don't mean that like that's just the truth. I have variables that will pop in and out that I literally can't, that will derail my calendar in a second.
Mm-hmm.
These are family needs. These are health needs. These are things that I can't always control. And a lot of my life has to live with this structured flexibility, this kind back and forth, move in and out. My team knows, like at any moment, I'm out for something if I have to be.
Huh.
And I don't love that. it does not feel productive. And I've had to learn that the for me, and I'm saying this because it's important to have different iterations, because I know some people might have more of a story like mine where I don't always get to have control, even though I'm the boss, so to speak. I don't always even get control over my schedule fully.
Yeah.
And so I do my best to have my rhythms. I'll say two things that are pretty easy to usually control that I always end up doing. That's what I do early in the morning, and that's what I do late at night.
Mm.
And why I say that is because those are two times when most everyone's sleeping and most of the needs are gonna, if they are around, pretty low.
That's good.
So I can count on those times.
I like that you're zeroing in on those times, because I think mature men who are protecting their sleep, you should be sleeping a reasonable amount of hours, but mature men tend to start getting up earlier instead of wasting their time by sleeping later.
Yes.
Nuance to that. I don't want you to be unhealthy and always shorting sleep.
Of course.
And mature men also start to use their evening time for service of others and redeeming the time rather than what your younger men life tends to be filled with, which is vice. Well, like you tend to make bad decisions in the evening. Lust is a big part of that, wasting time. So I love that you're focusing on those times because the mark of a mature man, I think, is that he starts to use his mornings and evenings well.
Well, and I think it's important. So I won't get into all of it, but I think for me, having a moment of like when you're talking about redeeming time, if I know that I'm waking up and putting my mind and heart on, and I have a handful of things, those are things like there's moments of prayer. There's moments of reading scripture. We're going to talk about that. And then there's moments of planning and looking at the day, what's happening that day. Something I do, this isn't a time hack, although I think in every way it redeems the time. I pray through my calendar. I know my meetings. Yeah, I know my meetings that are coming.
You pray through them every day?
I pray through what's coming up.
Every day?
Well, it's not that hard if you have a time to pray.
I'm reacting to this the way most people are reacting to my scheduling time. Like, you could do that? I'm motivated by that.
Well,
praying through the calendar before you get into it.
It's simple. It's like, it's just simple. It's like, I got my meeting with my... with Chad, my executive director. God, I pray that you give me wisdom, that you give us unity, help us be aligned and have the same vision. Have a meeting with our operations team. God, we love these people. Would you bless their families today? Give them good work.
Have
unity. I'm not praying for ages. I'm just saying.
When we get to our episode on spiritual disciplines at work, I'm going to bring this back up because I want to dive into it.
Yeah. So I think praying through the calendar, that's just a helpful thing. But why I'm saying that is because as I have less control over my time. Therefore, my only hope to feel like some sort of control is to give it to the one who has control. And that sounds so over spiritual, but I'm telling you, that is absolutely the truth for me. That's not an exaggeration. That is not like just pithy or like, hey, I need a quick clickbait. Like, that is how I live my life, because I can't control certain elements. And so I have to live in a place where it doesn't feel comfortable to my flesh, but is necessary to my productivity. Say, God, I need you to redeem this stuff. And here's what's so cool to me personally. I keep realizing this. It is so beautiful how when the more I step out of trying to control everything, the more things actually work out really well.
Yeah.
So, but it's not to counter. That's not actually against or actually even opposite or opposed to what you're saying of like, structure your schedule, have these blocks of moments. It's just another angle of the same reality that, but depending on your personality, you're going to fall maybe even in a place that Justin and I don't. That's okay. It's just to try to give you a menu of like, it can look different.
Yeah.
My time, I have to be really aware of it. I have to be very protective of it, and more people need it than ever before.
That's so good.
And so I do think about my time. I do structure my time. And when it comes to like heads down work, writing content, writing books, writing, like teaching, it's always morning, and it's always exactly what you said.
Yeah,
the phone goes on Sabbath mode, because Sabbath mode, the only people that can contact me are my wife and my kids.
That's good.
No one else. And I have to do that again for my situation. If something happens, I need to know. Outside of that, nobody can get a hold of me. And that's when I do all my head down work. And I cannot tell you how important it is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then lastly, morning and night, I would say just find a rhythm or a ritual that you like.
This is good. Say this. I was going to close with a quote on habit and ritual.
Okay, so I'll just say this and I'll hand it to you and we'll be done. Find something you like. For example, I wake up in the morning, and in the springtime when it's like kind of changing. I sit outside. I love sitting outside. I have this like, it's ridiculous. So I told you I have a big jacket. I have this like literal.
Oh, I've seen the jacket.
Yeah, but it's not that jacket. I have something else. It's like this. It's like a sleeping bag with arms and a hoodie.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this Snuggie?
No, it's actually all black. It's actually pretty cool. It's actually made for camping. And
are you like a KGB agent in it?
Absolutely, dude. And I sit out in this thing and I'm so warm. So I love that. Second thing I do is I have coffee, the kind of coffee I love. I'm just sitting there, drinking coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
So I look forward to that. The ending of the night might be a walk or a prayer walk with a cigar. Like I love that experience.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm like bookending my day.
That's
obviously
great.
Not every day with a cigar, right? But like I'm bookending my day with things that I know that I like and that I love, and it helps ground me. Go ahead. What is the ritual?
I'm going to give you the ritual, but one thing to note, if you have not, dear listener, curated your phone such that you have something like a Sabbath mode or something like a work mode, you need to get into your settings right now. A huge part of redeeming your time is redeeming it from Silicon Valley or from the phone makers.
Yes.
And setting up those things so that you can filter out the bad stuff.
Can I tell you what that is for me?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say like the Sabbath mode, just to give you 2 seconds, like go into your settings, make one of the do not disturb Sabbath. On that, you can pick what apps come up. And
exactly.
It's super simple.
A lot of people haven't done it, and it is a life changer.
But I schedule mine to come on. So every Friday night at 5 o'clock,
exactly,
goes to Sabbath mode. It doesn't come back on until Saturday until 9 p.m.
And similarly, I schedule I have one for work mode, and it GPS locates. So when I get to the office, it automatically comes
that's
on.
That's another great way to
I leave the office, it automatically goes off. So yeah, my phone is never on a normal mode. Totally. It is always on one version of those do not disturb modes. One is curated for home, one's curated for the office. And the whole point is to redeem time by reclaiming attention.
Yes.
I'm going to end with this.
Let's do it.
One of the key virtues here is habit.
Mm.
All of these things that we have mentioned are hard the first time you do them.
Mm.
None of them will work the first couple weeks that you do them. But by practicing redeeming time, practicing forming these rhythms, something emerges called a schedule. It's like a norm that you go back to. And this is when you get into the mode of you don't have to think that hard to do it because it has now become the default mode to do it. And one of my favorite quotes on this is by Annie Dillard.
Oh, yeah. Dillard.
Dillard for some of you. Annie Dillard.
I love this game. Still my favorite.
Wonderful book called The Writing Life. Particularly if you're a creative, you should read this.
Yes.
As a writer, and many of us, you know, are prone to unstructured time and spontaneity and waiting for the muse and lightning and all that. But she just gives a wonderful endorsement of schedules.
Mm.
And this is where the famous quote comes from. I'm paraphrasing here, but she says, "Our days become our lives. A schedule is a net for catching days." A schedule, a framework, is how a worker sets up a scaffolding to get their hands on time and use it.
That's
just three delightful images that I just want you to end
on. Helpful.
Your days become your lives. What you're doing today becomes your legacy. We'll get to talking about work and legacy, but it starts with your habits today. A schedule is how you catch those things. Like with no other hands can you work on time besides forming a schedule. So anything that we've said here that is of use, practice it.
Yes.
Practice it until it becomes habit.
Yes.
And then you're finding you're actually fighting the darkness, fighting the enemy by making good, wise use of your opportunities and time.
One day, kids will not ask for your time anymore. And that's a scary reality. And so when you're giving it all away right now, just remember there's going to be a time when they don't ask for it. And what we're wanting to do is redeem it so that we can be the types of people that our kids want to come back and ask for time.
That's good. That's good.
So let's do it.
Can't wait to hear people's questions on this one. This is one of my favorite topics. God be with you, gentlemen. God be with you, gentlemen.
No, I like gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen, bless you.
Go redeem the time.